Hey everybody, welcome to Viewing Angles. It's the only movie podcast. I'm Dan Leo. And who's this guy? Who's this guy I got here?
They call me Spooky Robert.
Yes, and I'm Spooky Dan tonight because it's the first day of Spooktober.
Yeah, for the next month. We're taking on these personas. Very different.
we'll be like our normal selves, just a little bit spookier.
A little bit spookier.
Don't worry, it'll be fine.
Yeah.
We'll all get through it together. Great.
Good bits.
Yeah, we've got a solid episode coming up for you guys. We're talking about horror movies. There's not really a good movie that came out this current cycle. So we're just going to talk about some horror movie stuff. We're talking about our favorite horror movies we want to see, and the scariest horror movies. Mm. Do you like to call them horror movies or scary movies? I think scary movies is kind of funnier to say.
It's funnier only because I think of the parody series that came out.
And scary
that,
movie.
Yeah, that franchise is probably why I don't call them scary movies. Also, I think you can differentiate between a scary movie and a horror movie. Like, I think a lot of jump scares.
Right. You think, scary, maybe kind of creepy. Horror is like...
Horror's like...
Disturbing.
That shit keeps you up at night.
Yeah. So, now that distinction's out of the way, we're still going to go into the box office and some trailers coming up. So, first, we got the box office, which... The only new movie that came out this week was Abominable, which is, I can't believe I got it on the first try. It's an animated movie about the Abominable Snowman, I assume.
Mm-hmm.
Yetis. It made $20 million.
What was the budget? $75 million for this movie.
Is this like Illumination Studios or
no,
whatever?
No, this is DreamWorks.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So it might be kind of good.
I mean, I've heard it's not that bad. I've heard it's more like one of their weaker entries, but it's still better than like whatever Illumination puts out.
Yeah.
And I wonder, one, how this movie's going to do globally, and two, why they didn't market it a little heavier, because I feel like this is a weekend where there's no competition.
I feel like we were not the people who this movie was designed for.
Oh, I know.
You know what I mean?
But
like, I feel like they must have used a very specific targeting on this. Like,
apparently it wasn't great. Cause like there are way worse movies made for way less money that make way more than this.
And this seems like a winter movie. It's about like, it's got snow going on.
I think part of the joke of the movie is that the Abominable Snowman's like, he's like in the city during a summer cause he gets lost somehow. I don't know how the fuck that happens, but
I was in the mountains,
yeah,
and now I'm in New Orleans for some reason.
Yeah.
And it's hot here, and I hate it. Yeah, someone please take me home. I've come so far. Yeah, I'm not about it. Speaking of things in the wrong time and place, Downton Abbey is coming to number two with $14 million. Sure, yeah, I'm sure it made its budget back.
Oh,
made
yeah.
$58 million.
Yeah, this movie has to have been like $20 million to produce. This movie's making bank. I'm so surprised at the performance of this film. Like, this is making more than like, you know, Entourage or Veronica Mars or any of the other. I think like more.
Oh, yeah.
Any of the X-Men, not X-Men, X-File films.
This probably made more than X-Men Dark Phoenix.
You know, you're probably right. Ouch.
If they released Downton Abbey in China, then it would make as much money as Dark Phoenix. But I don't think the Chinese market really gives a shit about Downton Abbey.
Yeah, probably not. Just call it Crazy Rich White People. It'll be like the Crazy Rich Asians for China.
Right. Do you think that if they added additional CGI to Downton Abbey, like put another $50 million behind the budget and said, make it like really slap? Do you think that they could get it geared up for the Chinese market?
Absolutely. Give it like an anime name.
What would the anime name be?
Oh, man.
It would probably still be Downton Abbey. Like, Downton Abbey is anime for old white people.
Attack on Abbey.
Yeah. I'd pay to see it. And then coming at number three, we've got Hustlers, which is doing pretty well. Made a total gross of $80 million on a $20 million budget. That's good.
That is real good. Are we getting a Hustlers cinematic universe?
No, but You know, J-Lo is now performing at the Super Bowl halftime show.
Oh, she wasn't before?
Yes, exactly.
Wow.
At one point she was not. Now she is.
Wild.
She's running for the Oscar, man. She's going to try and get it. Do you think she's going to do it? Do you think she's going to get Best Supporting Actress?
No.
I feel like she could.
No.
Who do you think will edge her out?
I don't even
Maggie Smith
have the brain capacity right now to think about that question. But I know that she probably won't get the win. Do you say win or nomination?
Though she'll definitely get a nomination.
You think she's definitely getting a nomination?
Yeah, try and stop me, man.
All right.
I will eat a glob of wasabi.
That's bold. It's a bold statement.
I think she's going to get the nomination. I think she could win, too.
All right. We will see.
The Super Bowl happens like a week before the Oscars.
Has that strategy ever worked for someone, though?
Nobody's ever tried it, to be honest.
I mean, hey,
Meryl Streep never performed at the Super Bowl halftime show.
Yeah, I hope that it works for J-Lo, because I want to see the next Oscar people like try to get the halftime show for their last big push before award season.
Oh, yeah.
Like, give me Daniel Day-Lewis hosting the Super Bowl halftime show.
That would be dry as fuck. I would not want to watch that. It'd be awful. Probably talking about like making shoes for like half an hour.
He talk about the making of the football.
definitely would. But think about this. Beyonce wrote an original song for the Lion King movie. It's possible that Beyonce and J-Lo both win Oscars this year.
Interesting. I don't think either one of them is going to win an Oscar. But, you know, I bet you, honestly, whatever original song they're writing for Cats, that's probably going to win the Oscar.
Shut up. It's
Tom Hooper, man.
It's going to be awful. It's going to be awful.
It's Tom Hooper. It's going to be belted out by Jason Derulo.
Uh-huh.
He's going to perform it again in a fursuit at the Oscars. It's going to take the award home.
Honestly, that might be the thing that gives Cats some value, if Jason Derulo performs at the Oscars in a cat suit.
Dude, there's going to be a cat musical number at the Oscars this year. Like, that's where, if I were a betting man, I'd put all my chips on that card. But I'm not a betting man.
I think, yeah, I'd give you minus 100 odds on that. that's where I would put the line.
Mm-hmm.
So, oh boy. So Hustlers doing pretty good. I think it's going to get a adapted screenplay nomination. It's going to get Best Supporting Actress nomination and nothing else.
Interesting.
Call it here,
honestly,
folks.
I would be surprised if it got either of those nominations, but we'll see.
Time will tell.
Got
Mark
real
this
good reviews.
Down.
You know what's got real good reviews though? Blade Runner 2049.
And it did win a Oscar
for
someone,
cinematography,
right? For someone who has been nominated a bunch of times or been in the industry for a while.
Has J-Lo been nominated for a lot of things in the industry?
Maybe Selena. I don't know.
I don't know what that is.
It's the movie about the singer Selena, who was murdered by her fan club owner. Very. Very famous Chicano singer in Mexico.
Oh, I'm culturally ignorant to that series of events.
Yeah, ask Elmer about it. He'll know.
Oh, I wonder.
I bet you he will. He probably will.
Let's find out, though. Let's find out. I will update on the next episode.
Right, yeah. Update on the next episode, but I'd be surprised. Because if I know about it, I don't know. Okay, now let's get into the main feature of this episode. We're talking about, no wait, let's do trailers.
Yeah, God, we can ahead of myself. You know what? We're the captains of the ship. We can do whatever we want.
Yeah, exactly. So first trailer is definitely the Birds of Prey.
Yeah.
The new Suicide Squad spinoff, I can say, I guess.
Yeah.
Starring Margot Robbie as Harley Quinn, Ewan McGregor as Black Mask, and a bunch of other people. You got Mary Elizabeth Winstead is in the movie. And Ali Wong is in this movie. There's a lot of people in this movie.
Yeah.
I think it looks pretty good. This looks pretty promising. What do you think?
It looks like a fun time. I'm really digging Ewan McGregor as Black Mask.
Me too. I'm surprised at the tone of it, but yeah. I really like it. I like the tone of this
very
movie.
Very glad this, like, the tone, I think they've nailed. I think that it kind of has to go for, I feel like it has to go for a hard R rating at this point, because otherwise I think the violence is just going to feel like a little bit tame for that weird, like, dark comedy that they seem to be pushing. And
yeah,
just going,
it definitely
by the,
seems to be shot like an R rated movie.
Yeah. Just going by the Foley of this trailer too, I'm like, oh, those are bones crunching when she jumps on that dude's crotch. I'm like, oh, that was disgusting. Yeah. Ouch. Ooh.
Yeah. Which I wonder is like a strategy that they use if they're like, oh, we want this to be art, let's make this trailer like hardcore.
Yeah.
And see how people respond to it.
Well, I thought it was interesting that they had the remember that like teaser trailer in front of It, which I thought was pretty cool. Yeah. I want more movies to do that. I could have swore, did she say like, I'm fucking tired of clowns or something, like, I'm fucking done with clowns. I could have sworn she said fuck in it.
Maybe. Yeah, I honestly don't remember, but I feel like I would have logged that into my brain.
Yeah.
I mean, it didn't happen, but I have been expecting this movie to be R. I feel like it was announced it was R.
Yeah.
But we haven't seen that, like, confirmed R rating from the MPAA.
Ever since Venom came out, I don't trust people when they say, like, especially, like, the producers and crew. I just don't trust them when they say it's going to be R. Because Venom was announced the same
Marvel
way.
And Sony, this is the studio that is doing Joker, who has done R-rated stuff before.
Yeah, that's true.
But this is connected to
what concerns me, is it's connected to the PG-13, but they also are trying to just, like, I guess, reboot that entire universe. And they're just kind of like, yeah, you can forget about that. Like, I wonder if James Gunn's Suicide Squad will be rated R, because that'd be pretty fucking wild, too. If Warner Brothers just becomes the R-rated comic book studio.
Honestly, there's a market for that. We've got, like, Watchmen on HBO. We've had the Marvel TV shows on Netflix.
Oh,
so they're,
yeah,
like, pretty much R-rated.
We had Deadpool.
The Boys. Yeah, Deadpool.
Have,
like, there is a market for this that makes more money than X-Men Dark Phoenix.
Yeah, I think Warner Brothers is starting to realize that, because you know Joker's going to make a shit ton of money this weekend.
Oh, yeah. I can't believe this movie's coming out. Really?
Yeah.
Like, Joker? Not to get on a Joker, but it has been such an insane rollout for...
Yeah, the discourse, man.
The discourse has been absolutely awful. I'm so confused why everybody is so, like,
I didn't
up their
think people
assholes
would be,
about this.
Yeah, people are legitimately mad about this. I'm like, you get, like, a lot of the people that are really just, like, being so fucking alarmist about this are giving off big energy... Like big 1980s mom energy, you know, where it's like, like D&D is going to fucking turn our kids satanic. Like Marilyn Manson is going to make all of our kids killers. Like,
no, that is honestly a perfect way of saying it. Big 80s mom energy coming from this. But they're like, even the authorities, like, they have extra security at the premiere. Mm-hmm. The stars weren't doing interviews. Like, there's extra police, like, at premieres in, like, New York.
Dude, this is all guerrilla marketing on Warner Brothers' part. Like, this is because all of this press
feels
is
like
free.
It. Yeah. Now everybody, like, I'm sure my mom knows about this movie now.
Yeah.
You know? Like.
Yeah, like, honestly, my aunt a couple days ago texted one of the articles. It's like, people are getting nervous about the Joker. And, like, I never fucking text her. And she just sends this out of the blue. Like, wow, so it's gotten that far. An R-rated comic book movie has cultural awareness at, like, those parts of society. Because we, as you know, we live in a society.
We do live in a society. It has been confirmed through multiple sources. But, no, I'm like, the Aurora, that theater that had the attack in Aurora.
Yeah.
That is not showing the movie. Like, they are going, like, how bad is the violence in this movie? That's what has me kind of confused. Like, is the violence just so in there that it's just so disturbing people can't take it? Or,
I don't
like, that's what I'm confused
violence
about.
I feel like it's honestly more of just, like, the, like, what the Joker as a character has become in pop culture. Kind of like Tyler Durden, where it's, you know, he's become a character that a lot of incels like to identify with. It's that stereotype of, like, you know, people with Joker tattoos. Probably didn't graduate high school, but.
Right. Like the incel thing where I like I saw the argument from what I can gather of this movie is that it's about a man who is mentally ill and lonely and depressed and all this stuff. And so he like snaps.
Yeah.
And he like murders people in brutal ways. And people don't they think that this representation of this person gives credence to the idea that people who are politically thinking a certain way mm-hmm. are like identifiable, like that you can find a common cause and feel bad for them. And they're doing this because they're depressed, mentally ill, like all this other stuff. But I'm like, is this where we're going to like draw the line here? Like, this makes people I don't politically agree with seem like I should sympathize with them and that their actions are justified through the way they were raised. Am I completely off base on this?
I don't know. I don't think that like if it was more subtle of a story of a character, maybe I could understand that argument, but I feel like we're not like, I guess I kind of,
isn't that the argument that's being made? Like that's what I'm trying to get across is that I feel like the argument that's being made is so like crazy. I don't understand the backlash.
Although the basic argument I understand from people who are like super against this film is that it essentially lionizes a character that a lot of like these incels identify with, in the sense that, oh, like I've been forgotten by society because like there are more minorities around me now, or just like, you know, rejection from a girl, which I'm pretty sure is a thing. Like that's probably major plot point in this movie. And that it's going to it's going to lionize him for committing acts of violence because like society has turned its back. At least they view society's turning its back on them as a person. And people are just afraid that this is going to make it more appealing for, like, if they want to emulate this character, it's going to make it more appealing for them to, you know, pull a fucking mass crime, because I'm pretty sure that's what Joker's going to do in this film at some point.
You think he's going to pull off a mass crime?
Probably.
Yeah, I bet that's the hook of the movie.
I mean, true. I would love if it was actually just really small and it was just like one person, you know, one person that he really fucks up for life. That's not the Joker.
Yeah, no. I guess that brings a very cogent, very coherent point. But I guess I'm just so confused. Like, what can we make movies about? Like, it's like saying it's the most condescending thing to think like, hey, some people are gonna like take this like seriously. And I'm like, yeah, they will, because like that's how people work.
Yeah,
you know, people go crazy about fucking football and everything.
Yeah.
But the way that we deal with this issue through art is somehow under more scrutiny. I don't know. Like if you wrote like a book about this kind of stuff, nobody would care.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's just the feeling of it being like, if you wrote a book about it, probably wouldn't be nearly as popular or as culturally prevalent as, you know, this movie. And I think part of the appeal of that is like being able to like emulating a character that everybody knows about.
Yeah.
You know, that's why they're like, sense. I feel like that's why they're, you know, there's so many like copycat killers whenever, well, not anymore, because I don't think serial killers are really as popular anymore. But, you know, because I was watching Mindhunter, I was thinking about how, you know, in the 70s and 80s when serial killers, I guess 60s and 70s, when they were really, you know, kicking it going up a notch. Yeah, when they were really going for it, there were a lot of copycat killers.
Yeah, people are crazy. I just don't get it, I guess.
Yeah, we live in a society, dude.
Yeah. Bringing it back around town. Let's talk about another trailer. Jesus Christ. Oh boy.
The Joker discourse is real.
Yeah, the Joker discourse is real. I think that's what we just proved. We're like, what's the deal with all this Joker discourse? Why is everyone talking about it? And then it's like, oh, it's really complicated. Yeah. It's tough. I bet it won't be even that good. Like I bet it'll be fine.
I don't know. I mean, some people like lost their, so Oh God, no, I'm just gonna we're gonna get back into the Joker discourse. But I think that a lot of people are giving it negative reviews because of, like, I don't want to say like political reasons, like, oh, they're pushing an agenda. But I do think that the reviews that came out of the film fest that premiered at, I think, Venice, were amazing. And it won that Venice award. So I'm like, it has to be like at least pretty good, right? Because this is the same award that Shape of Water and Roma won before.
Oh man, that's wild, dude.
Right?
Yeah.
Dude, I'm hyped as fuck this movie. This is a cultural touchstone. This is gonna be a monumental release.
Joaquin Phoenix is getting big buzz for the Oscar for this.
Oh,
he
man.
Wins the Oscar for Joker. If we have two separate actors who have both won an Oscar for playing a comic book character, society's over, man.
Society's evolving. That's the society I want to live in.
No, I don't agree with it. I wholeheartedly reject it. All right, what's the next trailer? Is The Kingsman?
Yeah,
the new the prequel to The Kingsman,
mm-hmm.
starring Ralph Fiennes and several other people who I don't really
Jumaan
care about.
Hansu, the black dude,
the guy from Blood Diamond.
Yeah, that guy. The guy from How to Train Your Dragon 2.
Exactly.
Yes, that guy.
Yeah, this trailer looked better than the last one, but still I'm not all in. Like,
I'm all in. I actually enjoyed the last one quite a bit. I thought it was still fun. It was still Kingsman. Definitely not. It didn't have like the freshness of the first one.
Yeah.
And I do think it was kind of stupid of them to like be able to cure headshots now. Like, oh, so there's like no consequences for anything you do in this movie unless you put someone in a meat grinder.
Right. Which
happened?
I haven't seen it.
You haven't seen it?
Yeah. Oh no, I haven't.
Wow, you should watch The Golden Circle. It's a fun time, and I love that Matthew Vaughn has directed all of the Kingsman films so far.
Is he doing the prequel as well?
Yes. Yeah. And it all feels like they have a very cohesive language. There are some great action scenes. I still love the church scene from Kingsman 1. It's like one of my favorite action scenes of all time. Kingsman 2 has some really good ones too. You get to see Channing Tatum fuck around with a rifle like as the statesman.
Which is getting its own spinoff, right?
I hope so. I think it depends on how this one does, because remember, it's a Disney property now.
Oh, shoot.
Right? So this franchise might actually be dead.
Fizzle out?
Yeah. It depends on how this movie does. I hope it does well.
I don't know if Ralph Fiennes can carry a movie, though.
I think the direction can carry a movie. Like, you know, Taron Egerton, he wasn't a dude before the first Kingsman.
Yeah, you're now right. That was his first, like, big movie. Yeah, he is.
I think it's just good direction.
It was that and then Rocketman. Like, I feel like, well, Eddie the Eagle to a lesser extent.
Oh, yeah.
But it's still like, what is this? Like, Rocketman, I feel like it's his first big movie.
Yeah. I mean, he's done some other stuff, too.
Anything good, though? Anything, like noticeable?
Robin Hood.
Yeah, all right.
That was a $100 million dollar movie.
Mm-hmm.
So he got paid.
So... people trust him.
Yeah.
For better or for worse. I bet most of that money was spent on Jamie Foxx, I bet.
Yeah, probably. And Ben Mendelsohn. Yeah. He was in Star Wars by then.
Ooh. Yeah, so overall, it looks good enough, but really hasn't hooked me yet. I love Rasputin as a villain, though. I think that honestly might be enough to hook a lot of people.
Yeah. I mean, I was hooked before I saw who the villain was. Now I want to pre-order my ticket now. Yeah.
Yeah.
Plus World War One. It's cool.
Did you see the 1917 behind the scenes featurette that they released?
Oh no, I've seen the trailer, but I haven't seen the behind the scenes stuff.
Basically, they confirm that it's shot to look like one single take.
Nice, man. That's sick.
It's a lot of long takes. That's the
I can't wait.
It looks very, very exciting. For anyone who doesn't know, 1917 is the new Sam Mendes World War One movie. And I'm pretty hyped for it. It looks, I mean, just like a feat of storytelling. Mm-hmm. And it's got Deakins is doing the cinematography. Oscar winner, Roger Deakins.
Yeah. God, man. Yeah, this movie's getting me hyped. So I wonder, like, because I know the tagline is time is the enemy. Does it all take place within the span of, like, an hour or two?
It's real time, yeah.
Oh, I love it. Oh, fuck. It's Gravity, but in World War One.
Is Gravity all real time?
Yes, it's all real time.
Far out. I'm very into it. Well, all right. Any more trailers? I think we're good on trailers.
Six Underground. Michael Bay. Yeah, Michael Bay, you back.
The new Michael Bay Netflix movie, which honestly I can't believe that it's taken this long for Michael Bay to sign a deal with Netflix. He's like the perfect Netflix collaborator. Yeah,
they should have done this before Adam Sandler. Like, just replace all the Sandler movies with like Michael Bay movies. I'd watch the hell out of those.
Oh, yeah. I mean, those Sandler movies are apparently like the most watched things on Netflix by far. Yeah,
I believe it. Very sad. But yeah, this movie, it's 100% Bay. Because as I was saying before the podcast, this is a heist movie that only Bay could do, because every character in this movie is a billionaire. So he has every reason to inflate the budget.
It is so weird. Like, that just, I'm in, I guess. Like, he's the perfect, because I want to see the effects. I want to see the crazy stuff he has in store.
Yeah.
But I do not want to pay money for it.
Yeah. Now you can just watch it at home. Although part of me does kind of wish they released this in a theater. I think Michael Bay movies look like they're meant to be watched in theaters. Those are visual experiences. So I kind of wish this was getting a theatrical release. But
yeah. And I wonder how that is really going to start to come into effect once these guys already make their passion projects. Like, is Martin Scorsese really going to go back to Netflix after they financed his like $200 million movie, but they won't show it in theaters? Like,
yeah, I thought they were showing it in a couple theaters.
It's going to be like 500 theaters, okay. Which,
yeah, I mean, definitely not a wide release, but
yeah. So 10 movie theaters per state, and you know, California is going to get a lot of them.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. We will see in the coming months. But speaking of month, it's October.
Yeah.
Good transition. Spooktober. I know.
Congrats.
Spooktober. Congrats. It's the season of scary movies. I am so excited. I love this season. Gets a little chilly. Stay inside. Watch a scary movie. Especially old scary movies.
Yeah.
Those are the ones that I think I like the most. They're just more enjoyable because of the campiness.
See, I'm very jealous because here in Texas, it's still almost 100 degrees out.
Yeah, it was 85 degrees today, but tomorrow it's going to be like 70.
And
it's going to be like 60s and sunny. Yeah,
that's what I want down here, but that's not coming for a while. It doesn't feel like Halloween. It doesn't feel like Spooktober.
Yeah. How is it warm on Halloween in Austin?
Yes. Yeah. Last year, like, I'm pretty sure it was like 80 degrees at night on Halloween.
Oh, man, that's no fun.
Yeah. You gotta have light costumes, you know?
Right. Yeah, true. Everyone could be the cop from Reno 911.
Exactly. Short shorts. Hell yeah.
Easy. So we thought to kick off Spooktober, we'd go through some of our favorite scary movies, some of the scariest scary movies, and, you know, the ones that we want to see. Because I feel like that's a big part for me of October is like, now it's appropriate for me to watch like scary movies.
Mm-hmm.
Like a lot before. If you watch like three scary movies in like a week and you tell people about it, they're like, wow, you're really going through something, right?
No,
but now it's
you can watch scary movies and be completely normal. You don't have there's no threshold. Don't let Dan watch, like, shame one, you.
You can watch like one or two, but once you get up there, like all in a row, you're just like, I'm feeling weird.
I'm feeling alive. Get the adrenaline pumping.
So I think I want to go through the ones that we want to see. You've got your ones that you want to see.
Yeah, let's go through the ones that I want to watch this October, and then we can go through the ones that I love / the ones that I want to show my roommate Elmer, because I think that he hasn't seen a lot of them.
Oh, hell yeah. Yeah. And that'll be a good, because if I've seen one that you want to see and I say it's not that good, then we can just be like, nah, fine.
Yeah.
Don't waste your time, man.
Yeah. Bag it up. Take it to the bank.
Yeah. All right. Let's do the want to see. What's your number five on horror movies you want to see this October?
Number five is The Devil's Rejects. I don't know why.
Oh, you know what? The Rob Zombie movie?
Have you seen it?
No, I have not.
I'm curious.
Yeah, I hear it's disturbing.
Yeah, that's what I want. I've been looking for just like, because like, I like the Saw movies, but the Saw movies, like, after a point, they just get like comically sadistic. So
yeah.
But this movie is apparently like real fucking gritty and kind of fucked up, which is something that I've been looking for. I'm just like, I'm just in one of those moods.
Yeah, it doesn't. Isn't there a sequel to The Devil's Rejects? And then
it's called like Three from Hell or something, but apparently it's fucking awful. This movie has like, very like polarizing reviews, but Three from Hell is just apparently not good.
Oof.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that weird 2000s era, like disturbing, where everything's just like heavy metal and screamo, just like, wow, this is weird. All those remakes from that era, like Friday the 13th,
the Hills Have Eyes.
Halloween. Yeah. Freaking wild, man. Mm-hmm. All right. What's your number four?
Surprisingly, The Conjuring 2.
Oh, you've never seen The Conjuring 2? Me
it's,
either.
It's something like, because
it's Will with the Nun, right?
Yes. Well, the Nun is part of it. It's not like the villain, but she's in it. But yeah, I want to see this movie because I love the first Conjuring. And I've wanted to see this movie forever. I've just never found like a good opportunity to sit down and watch it, like turn off the lights, get all spooked, get ready, get creepy. So I missed it when it was in theaters.
Is there a Conjuring 3 already?
I think it's rumored. Or like, it's probably in production. Like that the Conjuring cinematic universe is making bank. So there's
true.
They're definitely doing a Conjuring 3.
Hell yeah. Yeah, no, that'd be a good one to see, because the first Conjuring is such an effective like horror movie, and I mean, it is like a mishmash of the classics. He has made his own like pastiche there with the something in the background slowly changing.
Yeah,
it's like his go to now.
He's just
hiding things.
Yeah, he's
right out
so
of view.
Good at framing and just staging, and just like the blocking of every scene is on point. Yeah.
And it's kind of like the de facto, if you want to be a cookie cutter horror movie now, like you got to have that kind of stuff in there.
Yeah.
Yeah. What's your number three?
Number three is The Wailing, which is a South Korean. Yeah. The Wailing.
We might not have any of these in common. I'm very interested.
Yeah. Let's find out. I don't know how many indie movies you put on there and or foreign films.
Yeah. So what's The Wailing?
So this is essentially just like it's a ghost story set in feudal Japan. And it's
all right. I'll bite.
It's basically like the story, all the story that's revealed in the trailer is just a detective from like a neighboring town comes to this town that's being haunted by some Japanese demons or some shit. And there's like, you know, a persistent wailing in the background. Yeah.
Just a persistent wailing.
Yeah. It's like,
that sounds
it's
terrifying.
Like the town, it's like the town is crying.
Yeah. Oh.
But yeah, and like, you know, I love Asian horror. And
yeah,
I have not seen
the best Asian horror movie.
Probably not Ringu. I actually think Gore Verbinski's Ring remake is better than that. I do think The Grudge is pretty effective. The original Japanese Grudge.
Oh yeah, is it terrifying?
It's not terrifying in like the same way American horror films are terrifying, but it's definitely like it's like unsettling.
Mm.
Yeah.
I'm all in on that.
Yeah.
All right. That's number three. What's number two?
Number two is this movie that I've heard so much about. Another indie film called The Devil's Candy.
Devil's Candy.
Yeah. And this is about an artist who starts just like getting inspiration for these horrific paintings that he'd never painted before. And he just keeps going and going with it to see like where these paintings are leading him to. And apparently it's something satanic, and that's all I know.
Hmm.
But apparently
the devil
it's
made
very
him paint
good.
It.
Yeah.
I'm all in on The Devil Made Him Paint It.
Yeah.
Anybody famous in it? Is it foreign?
It's not foreign. It's just a small indie film. I don't think there's anyone famous in it.
Hmm. I'm all in.
Yeah.
All right. So what's your number one?
Number one. This is going to be a bit of a shocker. The Blair Witch Project.
Oh, the new one or the
original?
No,
the original. I've never seen the original. I didn't see the new one either, but I never saw the original.
I don't think I've actually seen the original either.
Man.
But yeah, that's a pretty huge one. Do you think it'll still be effective?
That's what I'm curious about. I mean, I think it will, because I don't think that, you know, it's set the template. And apparently no other found footage film has really been able to top it.
I'd be interested because I love that kind of like I think the Slender Man videos called
Marble Hornets.
Marble Horn.
Yeah.
Yeah. I really liked like that vibe of like found footage, like
real found footage, like super lo-fi because it was like low budget. They're just we only have one camera to do this with.
Yeah, I'm really into that. And my imagination can go wild with all this stuff. Like, that's why I think a lot of my favorites kind of they play with just how you imagine it instead of what's happening on screen all the time.
Mm.
I'm very into that. I'd see that. Yeah. Let me know when you're going to watch it. Maybe we watch it at the same time.
You know what? Let's do it. Let's plan that out. What are your five that you want to see this month?
All right. Number five is The Descent.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They go deep. Yeah, all mine are feel like are pretty
from the director
key.
Of Hellboy.
Yeah.
The remake, not Guillermo del Toro.
Oh, no. Oh, no. Yeah, with Neil Blomkamp or no, different guy.
No, not Neil Blomkamp. That'd be crazy, though. Yeah. It's something. I think it starts with an N.
Yeah. Is it so it's scary? Fucked up? Disturbing?
Yeah, it's are you claustrophobic?
Yeah, a little bit maybe.
Yeah, you'll be a lot claustrophobic after this movie.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Oh god. That's what it's like being down in like the caves where you can't easily move around.
Yeah, caves are fucking scary.
Yeah.
Especially if there's something in there that wants to kill you.
Spooky stuff. I don't like it.
Yeah.
All right. But I've heard nothing but good things about it, and I've never seen it, so it's definitely been on my list for a while.
Yeah, thumbs up.
Yeah. Then number four is can be Dawn of the Dead, the original, not the Zack Snyder. I've seen the Zack Snyder one.
Yeah, I haven't. Yeah. I don't think I've seen the original either. Wow.
But I hear it's really good. 1978.
Yeah.
It's Romero.
Yeah.
Doing all of his Of the Dead series.
Well, here it's the best Of the Dead because it's the one that, you know, I think they said at the time had like the most pointed social commentary just in its setup.
What is the social commentary, though?
They're in a mall and they're being hunted by all the shopping zombies, fashion zombies. The Aquabats wrote a song about it.
It's about capitalism, man.
Yeah, it's about money. It's about greed.
Yeah, so it looks like a fun one. I've always enjoyed the Zack Snyder one, especially now that I realize Ty Burrell is in it. everything is there for that kind of like schlocky 2000s like horror that was popular.
Hell yeah.
Zack Snyder is a competent movie maker. When he doesn't get too over his head, in over his head.
Can't wait for The Fountainhead.
Can't wait for it, but I'm pretty excited to see this. And I love the classic ones. 70s is my peak. 70s, 80s, like horror. That's where I like to live.
That's a great era of horror.
Great.
Very, very progressive.
Era. Very progressive. Very fun.
Yeah.
Speaking of progressive and fun, my number three is The Babadook.
Ooh.
Which I still haven't seen.
Very good. I think it's on Netflix.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it should be like really easy to find. I feel like it's everywhere.
Like, that movie's like 5 years old now, which is scary to think about because I remember seeing it like when it first got released and everybody was buzzing about it. Yeah, that's a good one. And it's really not that scary.
Yeah. Does it live up to the hype?
Well, it depends on what you're hyped about. Like, and I think that's kind of the thing is some people get hyped for scary movies because they want to leave the theater like with their heart pounding. And some people get hyped for scary movies because they want to leave with like existential dread.
Yeah.
This is definitely more of the latter. I don't think your heart doesn't really get racing. There's some moments where like you'll definitely get goosebumps, mm-hmm. but it's never like, you know, you're never clutching your pearls, you know.
I'm looking forward to it. I've always just heard it's like good, but there is a certain like condescension that comes with people calling horror movies like, oh, this one's like good though. It's like. You know,
we judge horror movies. Well, you know, it's because there's so much schlock. Like there is so much shit horror out there.
And a lot of it works. Like that's the terrible part.
Yeah, but I think it's the same thing where it's like, you know, if you try to recommend anime to someone, you're like, oh, it's an anime, but it's actually good. You know?
Right, yeah. True, yeah. It is horror movies are like anime for people who go to the movies. Yeah.
And in the sense that some of it's actually good.
Yeah, but don't trust your friends who are. Yeah, that's the key. Like, don't trust your friends who are really into it.
Yeah. Yeah. That's when it's like, just go to the internet instead.
Yeah, I don't know if I trust you.
Yeah, trust the general consensus.
My number two is actually a bona fide classic, is the original Friday the 13th.
I have never seen that either.
Yeah, so, I've seen Jason X.
The best one, absolutely, yeah. Where he's in space.
I don't know how they could get better than Jason X, where he gets molded with like a gun and metal. It's all, oh my God, it's so, that is pure schlock.
And they have like the hologram sleepover thing. You know what I'm talking about? They have like the hologram camp in the spaceship.
Yeah, yeah.
And he starts murdering all the fucking holograms.
Oh, it's perfect. It's what a dumb, great movie.
Yeah.
But so hopefully the first one can live up to any kind of hype, which I feel like there is not a lot of hype around it.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just like kind one of
those
like
classic ones.
I think it's classic because of how many, like how big the franchise got. I don't think like,
part of me wants to like get deep into the franchise. There's something about like big franchise horror movies when they kept getting released like in theaters.
Yeah,
that I'm a fan of. Like, good for you guys.
You should do that with Saw. I think Saw is the most fun franchise to do that with because it gets so fucking stupid.
Yeah, but it's also like really fucked up too.
In like a fun way, though.
Well, by the end, yeah.
I mean,
at the beginning, it's just messed up.
In the beginning, it's not even that violent.
Right.
It's like, it's psychological. Peaks, like,
three peaks at like the torture porn stuff.
Yeah.
That I'm not a fan of.
You could become a fan of it, though.
Right. I just got to get completely desensitized.
Yeah. Just realize realize it's fake, you know?
Okay. Yeah. That's easy enough.
Yeah. Just like what you're going to do when you go see Joker, right?
Yeah, it's all fake.
Exactly.
It's all fake. Yeah. Speaking of fake, my number one is An American Werewolf in Paris.
Oh, that's an interesting number one. I guess that is a horror film, isn't it? I've always kind of viewed it as just like a John Landis film with like horror elements. Yeah.
Would you not consider it a horror movie?
I mean, it is. There's definitely like body horror elements. And there are some violent scenes, but it feels like... It's pretty funny.
Oh, really? It's like a comedy?
Yeah. I mean, it's John Landis.
Yeah, which is weird, I guess. I guess just the werewolf stuff makes me feel like it would be a horror movie.
I mean, it is. They're definitely like the first werewolf transformation scene is it's like iconic because it's all practical.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like it's pretty fucked up.
Oh, I love practical.
Yeah.
I love fucked up.
Yeah. So I guess that, yeah, you could count that as a horror film. I have some movies like that on my list too.
Good. I'm glad we've got no overlap and none that we wanted to see that were like, eh.
Yeah.
I think it's all pretty good. All right. I kind of want to get into the scariest movies though.
Yeah. Scariest/slash favorite.
My favorite and my scariest are not the same.
Oh, okay. I combined mine.
Yeah, well, for you, I think they are the same. For me, it's completely different.
Interesting.
Yeah, so I guess I'll go first on this one.
Yeah.
But number five for the scariest is Rosemary's Baby.
Okay.
Which is the scary part for me is kind of like when she is trying to get away and she gets like in the phone booth and she's trying to call like, hey, like I'm like, this is happening. And everyone's like, no, nobody will ever believe you. Like... just the full in, like, you're like, there's nothing you could say. Everyone's going to call you crazy. And just like, you're completely at the mercy of whatever's going to happen because you have no credibility. And like, that to me is terrifying.
That is terrifying. I've actually never seen Rosemary's Baby.
Ooh.
Yeah. Maybe I should probably put that on my list too. But also,
it's
a Roman Polanski film.
Yes. But it happened before the bad stuff. Okay. So
then we're in the clear, buddy. Yeah. Cool.
Yeah.
Sick.
Yeah. True, true, true. My number four is The Mist, which is like in a similar vein.
Like the
religious things coming, like these people being turned completely like into crazy fanatics and like, we don't trust you guys. Like, you can't leave.
Yeah.
Like, that is
the Frank Darabont one, right?
Yeah.
Okay. What a great fucking film.
Great movie. Terrifying. Low budget. Like, unfortunately, like low budget. Yeah. He does a lot with it, but the monsters are pretty.
Once the CG cheesy. Rolls out, it's like,
you're like, okay, yeah, I don't know about this, but still terrifying, very scary, and an ending to really kick your butt in.
Yeah, better than King's.
Oh God, yeah, he's bad at endings. We all know it.
Yep.
All right, my number three is The Omen. Okay. Which is just like
the original or like the 2006 remake. Okay.
I never saw the 2006 remake, but the original is pretty fucking terrifying. I'm just like this, these people dying in these like horrible, like confusing ways.
Mm-hmm.
Like the babysitter, it's all for you, Damien. And yep. just like, that's the iconic fucking
jumps
scene.
Jumps off the building. Yeah.
Yeah. And you're just like, like it's the kind of stuff that's not like, it's like the complete opposite of a jump scare. It's just like they're setting this thing up and it's like, this is going to happen. You're like, this is upsetting. And it's like, yep, it's going to happen, though. You're like, okay, I guess. And then it happens. You're like, oh, boy.
Just like Saw.
More stuff like. Yeah. Yeah, sure. Except her head didn't like come off.
Unfortunately.
Yeah. But just very well made. Love it. My number two, the second scariest, mm-hmm. is actually, you'll be surprised, it's Hereditary.
Nice.
So that's number two for me. Just. Scared the shit out of me when I saw it in the theater, like just made me like uncomfortable.
Yeah, just being in a dark room looking for entities in the corner of every room.
Hiding that in, and honestly, like when I could expect like what was going on, like when they figured out the source of all the demon tree. Then I was like, oh, thank God. Like, I know it's just like some evil spirit or whatever.
Yeah.
When I didn't know what was going on, that was what like made me so uncomfortable. I love horror movies where it's like, here's the concept. You know what's going on. And now you're going to watch this executed over the course of like an hour and a half. Ooh. I like that. Hereditary was not like that at all.
No, dude. I love horror movies like that, though. I love when you like you don't know why any of this is happening. And I love it when it's just because I think it plays into cosmic horror. Where it's just like, uh-huh. there are forces out there that are just too big and too complex for humans to understand. And when something bad sure. starts happening to a human, like being enacted by like one of these Lovecraftian horrors, there's no way we can comprehend what's happening. We're just trying to survive it. So you'll never know why there are, you know, demons or not even demons, just weird super / paranormal things happening.
But you always find out why. That's
not always.
What are some movies where you don't find out what was going on?
It Follows.
Sure.
You find you get the mechanics of it,
you get the mechanics of it. Like you always understand what's going on.
Yeah.
And that's why I like it. Like it's like, okay, this is going to happen. And the whole thing is them trying to get away from it.
Yeah. I also think that In the Mouth of Madness is
I've never seen that one.
Yeah, that's like an almost straight Lovecraft adaptation in which they do not explain. Like the narrator just goes, he just goes mad, and it's kind of fun because by the end it's got Sam Neill. He's just fucking, he's just crazy.
Hell yeah! Just like Event Horizon should have been somewhere on these
lists.
Like
so that's like a guilty pleasure. I don't think that movie's actually good, but
it's fucked up though.
Yeah.
Oh man, gotta watch that again. That's a good like. If that should be playing on like a VCR TV in a bar.
That sounds like where it would be playing. Yeah, and one of those like weird nostalgia bars that just have a random collection, like Eastside in Columbia.
Oh yeah, exactly. I've been to a lot of those bars. Legit, some random dive bar. Yep. Would definitely have that going. All right, so my number one is by far the most disturbing movie I think I've ever seen. Mm-hmm. Just makes me uncomfortable when I've watched it. Everything about it just unsettles me. It's Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Nice. That's a good one.
Have you ever seen it? Oh, man.
Yeah.
It's rough.
And I think it's really, and the thing is, it's not even that, I think it's just the aesthetic is so grimy because it's not like, I think the remake is technically more violent. You see more of like what happens to these people, and there's a lot more of a fetishization of their suffering. But I think the original is just so grimy, and it feels so much more authentic because, you know, these people really like a super low budget. They just went out to this like random desert. It all actually looks like that. these sets are worn down. Apparently they just like, they grabbed props from like other movies and just, everything just looked old and torn apart because that's, that's what the, you know, that's the family. And also just seeing Leatherface do his fucking chainsaw dance in the sunset. I'm like, oh, this is beautiful. This is something, man.
Yeah, it's a disturbing movie, and it's disturbing because you've got these normal people-ish, and they're just confronted by... Hillbilly country is like a horror trope that I totally buy into, where you're like, there ain't no law around here, son.
I've felt that. I'll tell this on another episode, but when I was hanging out with Ethan one night, or just one day, we got into some weird backwoods Missouri shit, and I really thought that we were going to get shot.
Oh man, like, I believe that.
Yeah, there's some weird backwoods hillbilly shit happening in Stover, Missouri.
There is. I mean, that is a fact about America. There are just some areas where the law
it doesn't exist. There's no reach.
Doesn't exist. Right. Yeah. What, the cops are going to come and govern like this? These people living out here doing their own shit. Nah, man. I don't like that.
Yeah.
I don't like that one bit. Yeah. I like being protected by the law.
It's a very relatable situation, like a very relatable horrifying situation.
Yeah. So what are your, top, your just scariest slash favorite
horror
movies?
So these actually, unfortunately, I didn't really rank by scariness. I would have redone this list if I'd known that we were separating these, but I'm just going to go by my five faves.
You can do it free form.
Yeah.
It's a creative choice.
You can't put me in a cage, man.
Yeah, I wouldn't even try.
Number five.
That'd be a big cage.
Yeah, I'm opening this cage right now with number five, The Evil Dead 2 / Cabin in the Woods. That's right. I put two in one spot because I'm a fucking rule breaker. Oh,
Jesus Christ.
I'm a rebel.
I have never seen The Evil Dead.
Any?
Not any of them.
Wow. That's, you should definitely check those out as soon as possible. I think there are two very different movies, Evil Dead, like Evil Dead 2 and Army of Darkness, you can kind of watch back to back, but Evil Dead 1 is actually a horror movie. Very low budget, very innovative horror movie.
Is it good?
Yeah. It's pretty, there are some disturbing moments. I think there are arguably more disturbing moments in Evil Dead 2, but the levity of it is, it kind of helps it go down easier. Where it's like, what I'm watching is super fucked up and kind of terrifying if I were to look at it in a vacuum. But this movie's so ridiculous and it's having such a good time that I can't actually be scared.
That's an interesting vibe.
Yeah, but I love it.
Have you seen the remake of The Evil Dead?
I did. I didn't hate it. I don't know if I ever need to watch it again, but there was some pretty good practical effects. Apparently that movie still holds the record for most fake blood ever used in a movie.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Did you see it?
No.
Man. Yeah, there's the third act. You kind of like, it makes sense why it holds that record. But yeah, it's enjoyable. It's a fun change of pace. And it's from, what's his name? Fede Alvarez, who did Don't Breathe. Did you ever see that?
No. No, that's the one with Lights Out.
With the blind guy.
Yeah, the blind guy.
Yes.
Hell yeah, Don't Breathe. He can hear you.
Exactly.
He's got super hearing. All right, what's your number four, I guess? Are you doing...
The other half of my number five spot was Cabin in the Woods. And I put these two here because they're kind of like comedies.
Similar...
I don't know if I put them solely in horror, but I just like Cabin in the Woods because I think it's very well directed, very cleverly written. I think the sense of humor is great, especially like with the Bureau underground, just like doing their daily work, torturing these people.
I think it's a really great movie. I saw it in theaters too.
Yep.
This is a theater movie for me.
Oh, yeah.
Loved it.
Yeah. Fucking great. And the way it just deconstructs every trope. So satisfying.
Very, very satisfying. And great Chris Hemsworth.
Pre-Thor performance.
Yeah, great. He's absolutely amazing.
Yeah. All right. Number four. I got The Conjuring.
Hell yeah.
I do love
Conjuring is good.
Yeah, I really love The Conjuring. Conjuring a lot because I do think it does kind of meet that middle ground between like entertaining blockbuster and actual horror film. Mm-hmm. I love the performances from like the Warrens are so much more likable in this movie than they were in real life, or so I'm told, because apparently the Warrens were like
con artists.
Con artists. I was going to say real shitheads, but I guess, you know, it was synonymous. But yeah, this movie's just enjoyable, and it's a horror movie I can recommend to people that like I know aren't that into horror. They're just like, I just want like it. Like if they're just like a Halloween horror person, I'll be like, yeah, watch The Conjuring. It's like the best of this type of movie.
It is very accessible. It's scary, but not too scary. Mm-hmm. And it's very well handled story wise and very interesting and clever and cleverly made.
Yeah. Boy.
It's kind of like a Where's Waldo, where Waldo is like really big.
Waldo's really big and in the shadows.
Yeah, where you just like you flip each page and then you kind of look for like a second. You're like, hey, look, it's Waldo. I found him
and
already.
Waldo like reaches out of the book to grab you. Like,
yeah, exactly. And you get cuts on your arm for sure. Just like in the book.
Yeah.
All right.
So my number three spot.
Yeah.
Under the Skin, starring Scarlett Johansson. That movie is haunting. I think that movie actually disturbed me more than Hereditary.
Really?
Yes. Because Hereditary, I think it gets enjoyable. I think kind of like when you said, like when you realize what's going on and like it starts really like hitting the classic horror beats, like it ups the tempo of the scares. Things start just going batshit insane, especially like the last 20 minutes. And by that point, I was just having a good time. I was like, I'm here for the horror. Like, this is what I want to see. Under the Skin never has that.
No, it's not a fun movie.
Yeah, there's no catharsis.
It is visually beautiful. It's like Species as an art movie.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen Species?
No. I know the premise.
Yeah. It's basically that. The premise of Species is there's an alien who comes down, takes the form of a beautiful woman, and she wants and she is trying to propagate her race by having sex with a man. And it works. And there were like five of these movies.
Yeah.
Under the Skin is like that, but artsy and in a it's in Ireland, right? Or England?
Scotland, I think.
Scotland.
Yeah.
Yeah. This movie kind of bored me when I saw
really?
It. Really? Yeah. And it's disturbing, like in its own way. And it's like cool, like visually very innovative.
Yeah.
And evocative of like these weird alien abstract places.
So I do agree. I do think this is a very dry horror film. But I think that there are like, you know, there are bursts of genuine terror. And I think that the dryness of like her wandering Earth and just kind of like absorbing it as an outsider are like, they're all punctuated with those scenes where she takes like a guy home and like brings him into the feeding room or whatever. And the terrifying part about this to me, just what she does to these people, is how they don't like just die immediately. Like they're not eaten when she takes them.
Oh,
like
no, yeah.
They like she traps them in this like that. I guess that's like it's like kind of almost being like stuck in one of those sticky mouse traps, like a human sized sticky mouse trap. You're stuck there forever.
Yeah,
because you're just in the suspended animation, slowly getting soggier but remaining conscious, and like you're not dying until they decide to suck the meat from under your skin. And then you just have like, remember, dude, oh my God, when that guy, like they first showed it and he like, they just play that noise and it's just him against a black background. And you just see like, he's reaching out to the dude who just got captured and like asking for help. And then he just like becomes like a blob of flesh. And then they cut to like the meat sliding down a slide into whatever they do with the human meat.
And I'm just like, not fun.
Yeah. But just like the idea of like just being there, your impending doom taking so long, and it's like watching yourself slowly get more and more wrinkly so they can peel you alive. Yeah. That fucked me up.
Yeah. All right. I'll bite. I have to like recommend that to a very like artsy film.
Oh yeah. It's not a movie. I don't think I've ever recommended it to anyone, but I kind of love it because it's one of the, it got under my skin, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah. Whoa. Sick.
Yeah. So that's what I have to say for my number three spot. My number two spot, we talked about a little earlier. We actually talked about both these movies a little earlier, but The Babadook.
Ooh.
I love The Babadook. I'm glad that like, I'm kind of sad you haven't seen it yet, but I'm glad it's on your list. Because you should definitely watch that movie. That movie is fucking great.
I'll move it up to the front.
Yeah. I think it's a very tame horror film, but it is disturbing. It's psychological. And there are quite a couple good goosebumps moments Yeah. No heart pounding moments, but it's very like, oh, did I just, did I really just see that? Or is my mind playing tricks on me?
Oh, I love that kind of spooky stuff.
Yeah. Babadook, very, very good.
So why is it a trans icon?
Because I actually don't really know. I know it has something to do with him coming out of the closet, which he does in the movie. So I mean, yeah, he's also very fashionable. He's got a long, nice coat and like a top hat. So it's like, cool. He's fashionable. He's got very long nails. He's got claws, you know? And yeah, it's about him. He comes out of the closet at some point in the movie.
Awesome.
Yeah, so he's an LGBTQ icon.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. Really taking it in a different direction.
Oh yeah. And then I'll jump on my number one real quick. Hereditary.
Oh, fuck you.
No, I loved Hereditary, man.
You're a bad person for liking this movie.
It's kind of sad because after watching Midsommar, like, I loved Hereditary. Midsommar, like, I don't want to say it's disappointing, but it's definitely not better than Hereditary. I didn't even have it on this list anywhere. But Hereditary is fucking great. Hereditary is so good. And the music, the marketing for Hereditary was great. The music for Hereditary is great. All the performances are fantastic. Shit gets wild in the third act. And it just goes places that I think, because a lot of horror movies will like try to push the envelope by being more gory than the last one. But this one goes places by not only like being gory and disturbing, but also just like morally and ethically, you probably shouldn't show this stuff on screen. But they do.
For sure.
Yeah,
for sure. Yeah, it does push the boundaries of like what I feel comfortable watching on a movie.
God, I loved it.
I haven't gone back to it.
I want to get out.
And I don't know if I desire to go back to it.
I think
it.
You do. It's Halloween, Dan. No. It's spooky season.
I would
season.
Watch it with like 10 other people.
I mean, that'd be interesting too.
In someone's apartment. I'm not watching it like alone or in the theater.
Just watch it on your iPhone. That way it's small. It's small and away from you. And you can look away. You can look into the corner if you get too spooked.
That sounds so much worse. Oh my god. Maybe, I don't know. I still stand by what I said. This is emotional terrorism. And he should be tried in The Hague for crimes against humanity. Put Ari Aster in the Tower of London. Yeah, and that's my pitch to that movie.
Man, they should get a pull quote from you for the Blu-ray when it gets out of the Criterion Collection.
Yeah, honestly.
Put that shit on the back of the DVD cover. He's an emotional terrorist. He should be tried in Hague.
Yeah. That's how I feel. You can't change the way you feel.
Yeah, man. That's a very earnest reaction to this movie.
Yeah. All right. I'll quickly go through my favorites because I think there's some good recommendations in here.
Yeah, give it to me.
Well, number five is Scream. I love Scream.
Ooh, Scream is great. Scream is a classic.
Scream is great. God, it's funny. Dude, it deconstructs the horror movie.
Yeah.
And it's like Cabin in the Woods, but more scary.
Yes. Yeah. I think more scary, more earnest. Like, it's trying a little bit more to be a horror film than Cabin in the Woods is.
Yeah.
But yeah.
It's so clever. You've got that class, like the Drew Barrymore at the beginning. I won't spoil. But just a scene that had never been done before. Like having a star so early in the movie. Oh, man.
Mm-hmm.
Chef's kiss. Courtney Cox is in it.
Matthew Lillard, man. Can't forget about Matthew Lillard.
Oh, love Matthew Lillard. Yeah, honestly, great movie. I can't wait to watch it during this October season.
Nice.
Spooktober. All right, number four is a scary movie. It's The Exorcist.
Oh, okay. I thought you were about to say like one of the scary movies.
Oh, yeah, Scary Movie 3.
Yeah. Yeah, of course, The Exorcist is iconic. You know, the only horror film to have won an Oscar.
Yeah, and it really, oh boy, it's so good. It eases you into the horror.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they really are all trying to figure out like what's going on.
Yeah.
They take a very logical approach.
Yeah.
They take her to the doctor, and it's like, yeah, there's nothing wrong with her. Like,
there's actually, I want to go on a
and then they go all in. They go all in. I'm like, how fucked up.
I want to go on a slight digression real quick, just because this movie, I don't think is talked about enough. But have you ever seen The Last Exorcism? Came out in like 2010.
No.
That is a great film, I think, very much. It's a found footage film, but the way it treats its subject is very similar to The Exorcist, in that these people, so the premise is it's this pastor who admits that he's like a con man and like fakes miracles to get followers. And this video, he's coming clean. He's like, someone claims they're being possessed, but I'm going to show you like why they're not actually possessed. And it's like a documentary about him trying to show that they're not possessed. But the whole time you're just wondering like, shit, maybe he did find a real possessed person. But it's a very logical approach. They do a lot of tests, and they're, you know, obviously very reluctant to credit anything supernatural with what's happening. And it's just, it's so well done. And I think it's so underappreciated. I think everyone should check that movie out.
Oh, really? I'll have to check it out. It's good.
It's very good.
Caleb Landry Jones is in it.
Yes, he is. He's got a mustache. He looks creepy as usual.
I'm all in on that. Yeah, I'm down. I'm down to watch it.
Be good.
Should be good. Is it going to give me motion sickness?
I don't think so.
Good.
Yeah.
Because Cloverfield did, man.
Really?
I'll tell you what. Yeah. But I was like 13 something. Oh, I don't know.
Just take some Dramamine. You'll be fine.
Fall asleep. Hell yeah. All right. Number three is a modern classic. It Follows. I love It Follows. Mm-hmm. That's like the classic 80s vibe,
dude,
that I really look for, inspired by Halloween.
Oh, man.
That synth
score. You got
a
little synth wave in
that
there.
That loose plot. Yeah.
I just love, too.
Very
like,
simple.
It's so, there are so many moments, too, that just aren't scary. Like, they're not like the jump scares, but it's just fucking terrifying. Like, when you just see it in the background walking towards the protagonist or whoever it's like pursuing, you're just like, oh, just like this instant just wave of dread comes over you every time it shows up on screen.
Yeah, because, you know, like, just gotta get far away.
God,
you know,
yeah.
Like, it'll always be over this, like, this, your shoulder.
Fuck. That's a good movie.
True fear. I love it.
God.
So good. Still have to see Under Silver Lake.
Yeah, me too. But it's on Amazon.
Which is his second movie.
Oh. Yeah. I might check that out this weekend.
Yeah, that'll be fun. All right. My number two is Halloween.
Classic.
The original It Follows. I love Halloween. Halloween is so good. And it's mostly, not mostly, but the score definitely helps. The score is so good.
Oh, yeah.
I love all John Carpenter music. He is so good at doing scores for his movies.
Yeah. God, yeah. The original Halloween is so fucking good. And again, just like, not like many jump scares at all. It's very restrained and still terrifying.
Very foreboding, just that the idea of this unstoppable, like, that's to me, people like not believing in you being like completely out of the resources of society.
Mm-hmm.
That is scaring. That scares the
shit out of
me.
So the Joker's gonna scare the shit out of you.
Yeah, exactly. We live in a society. And then like pure unstoppable evil that will like not stop until it kills you. That just terrifies me. And that's what like Michael Myers is.
He's
like
evil incarnate for a horror film.
Yeah. He cannot be killed. And I love all of these sequels, too. Like, they're all bad. They're all awful. But I love each and every one of them.
How do you feel about the Rob Zombie remake, though?
I don't know if I've ever seen him, actually. I know I've seen him on, like, Spike TV for, like, 10 minutes at a time. Mm. But him just, like, running through fucking walls and stuff like that. That's all I remember about it. And that weird, like, it looks like a Limp Bizkit music video the whole time.
Yep. That's Zombie's aesthetic.
Yeah, has he made a movie like since Halloween 2?
Yeah, he did. He's done a couple. That Three from Hell one just actually came out this year. The sequel to Devil's Rejects, which is probably why The Devil's Rejects is on my mind.
Yeah, well, he is. Does he make music anymore? Does he do a?
I don't know.
Oh, wait, The Devil's Reject is a sequel to House of a Thousand Corpses.
Is it really? Fuck, I gotta go watch The House of a Thousand Corpses now, too. Damn.
I guess so, yeah. So Three from Hell came out this year. He was in Guardians of the Galaxy 2.
Cool.
Voice cameo, Unseen Ravager.
Wow.
I bet he's a or James Gunn is probably a fan of his.
Oh,
something like
absolutely.
That. Yeah, very interesting. Yeah, he's had a weird career.
I wonder where he's going to go next. I want him to do. I want him to do a drama.
Four from Hell.
I want him to do Downton Abbey too.
Oh, and he's in an episode of Mr. Pickles. Gross. God. All right. So my final movie, this is one of my favorite movies of all time.
Yeah,
actually,
give it.
Is favorite. It's The Thing.
Ooh, that's a good one. Honestly, thinking about it, I probably put that on my top five too.
Yeah, that is.
Yeah. And
like,
you got two Carpenter movies on there, man.
Yeah, I'm a stan. Yeah. The Thing is like not only like one of the best horror movies of all time, it's one of the best movies of all time.
Yeah.
It's so good. It holds up. It is something that I would like recommend if someone's like, what's like a classic like horror movie that like will still be scary but not be too scary? Like The Thing.
Yeah.
It's scary, disturbing, and it's I love that that trapped claustrophobic vibe of, all right, we got to figure out who is real and who's
just,
not real.
Oh god, the paranoia of it is so fucking good. And not only is it like thematically very well done, but the practical effects are terrifying. Like,
so scary.
They're
so
disgusting,
freaky.
But they're so good. Oh man,
so good.
That fucking
I can't wait to
Spider-Head.
Watch this movie again.
Honestly, I might watch
Spider-Head is big.
I might watch it again this Halloween too. This is I'm very much in the mood for that.
Oh yeah, that's what it's all about. That's it's so good. Kurt Russell, really a peak for him.
Mm-hmm. Playing chess against the fucking computer. Just throwing his whiskey on it when he loses. Yeah.
Yeah, that's and they had the perfect opportunity for a prequel. Like a prequel has never been like more perfectly set up, and they completely screwed
up. Yeah, I don't know how they fucked it up that bad.
Yeah. It's oh my god. That could have been an amazing because I don't know, has it really been like a good horror sequel?
Conjuring 2, I hear, is pretty good.
Yeah, is that like good though? You know what I mean? Like
great, like as good as the original or better?
Maybe like Aliens.
I wouldn't even consider that a horror movie. I don't think Aliens is horror.
Me neither. But Alien is kind of horror.
Alien is definitely horror. Aliens, like, you know, flips it on its head. Suddenly the Marines are the ones fucking just slaying xenomorphs left and right.
Yeah. So, yeah, I don't know if there's been like a really successful like sequel. Maybe The Omen. The Omen could be one. The Omen 2 is pretty scary.
Really? Never seen it.
Yeah. They got a bad kid for it, though. The kid sucks.
That's not like the most important part.
Nah, the most important part is the killing, man.
Yeah. I mean, you're not wrong.
Yeah. Or maybe what you call it? Friday the 13th part. Like whenever he gets the hockey mask part 3, right?
Are any of those good?
I don't know.
I don't think
I haven't seen any of them.
I don't think they are. I mean, maybe like Nightmare on Elm Street. One of those.
I hear the third one is pretty good.
Yeah, the Dream Warriors. That's a cool title. That's badass.
It is a pretty cool title.
I just like
pretty badass.
I like that franchise because of how meta it gets.
It's badass.
It's badass, dude.
You only like it for the titles?
No, I like it just because of how meta it gets at the end. Like when it's like Freddy's Return or something.
Freddy's Nightmare.
Yeah, it's like it's the seventh one where they're making another Nightmare on Elm Street movie, and then he like breaks the fourth wall within the movie.
He comes into the real world. God, that's good. I love that. I want a Freddy vs. Jason Part 2 though.
Please. Or some other horror icons, you know, like give me the Nun versus the Xenomorph or something. I don't know.
Yeah. Alien versus Predator. Ooh, actually, Predator is a pretty good one.
Yeah, I guess that's.
But I don't know if any of the.
I guess that's horror. That doesn't feel like a horror movie.
Yeah, there is no real reason to have a second horror movie, I guess.
Yeah, that's true.
That's what we can surmise. Unless you're going to completely change the formula up.
Yeah. Or you're adapting a Stephen King. Like if you're doing like It Chapter 1 and Chapter 2, like, sure, that makes sense.
But even then, that didn't really like, I mean, It Chapter 2 is like good, but not as good as the first one.
Yeah. I don't think the sequel is ever, like, I don't think any horror movie has a Dark Knight or an Empire Strikes Back.
Yeah. That's what we're trying to get
at,
I guess.
It's not too late.
It's definitely not too late.
If anyone,
all right, let's let's wrap this bad boy up.
This is a beefy
one. We know what we're seeing next week.
Hell yeah,
we're seeing the Joker.
Yeah,
I'm excited.
I'll take one ticket to society, please.
Yeah, we'll see the Joker, and then the week after that, we'll see Gemini Man, which apparently is
god awful. Wait, oh, I'm hyped.
It is going to be so bad.
It's going to be a 90s renaissance.
Yeah, and the Addams Family's and Parasite is actually coming out.
Ooh. Yeah, that looks good too.
Gemini Man.
I want to see Lucy in the Sky too.
I hear that's also really
bad. Yeah, but I'm very curious because I love Fargo and Legion, so I want to know like how bad is it? What's the damage?
How bad could he do it? What's the damage here?
Yeah.
All right. So you know how to follow me. I'm at the Dan Leo Show. You know the podcast at Viewing Angles on Twitter. Follow us on Facebook. Get it on Spotify. Rate it on whatever podcasting thing you get. Rob, how do the people get in touch with you?
Follow me on everything at Robert Jr. JR. Spread the word.
Nice. Spread the word. All right. Well, we'll see you next week, nuts.
Yeah, get ready.
Until then.
Bye.